Coaches and athletes to a preview of this week's games.
It's the Rudin Report on WICC.
Now, your host, Dave Rudin.
Good morning and welcome to the Rudin Report Live. I'm Dave Rudin from the Rudin Report, and we're going to do this week a review of FCAC football week one alliance games. A pretty good week for the FCAC, a 9-7 record against non-league teams. But the top five teams in four of the five teams that are occupying the top of the polls all had very successful games. There are a lot of things that happened, and I'm going to review it all, as always, with co-host Sean Ireland, former Norwalk football coach. Sean, how you doing?
Good, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I've got my Sunday afternoon back after standing on turf for Friday night and Saturday, so that means I'm already in mid-season form. What about you? Did you get to follow anything yesterday or Friday night?
Friday night I went to the Norwalk High game. I went to that game. It was actually a very exciting game. And then yesterday I had to go up to Nathan Hale to work the soccer game, and then my son had a flag game after, so I had a pretty busy Saturday.
Yeah, so I was over at Darien Friday night. I was at Stanford yesterday. And why don't we start by just bouncing around a little bit. Anything before we kind of break down some games that caught your eye?
Dave, I just got to give a congratulations to Coach Reed, Coach Sandoval, Coach Parisi. You know, they all three of them got their first wins under their belt. You know, Reed and Parisi being their first year with Richfield and Ward, respectively. And then Coach Sandoval, West Hill, they had a long year last year, but they bounced back with they're 1-0 right now. So congrats to those three guys and to those three programs.
And as I said at the opening, I thought it was a real impressive showing by the four teams that are in the top five spots in the first state poll. Though I think one thing is everything comes with a yellow light. It's week one, and I think it takes at least 3 weeks until you really get a feel for how good teams are. We're kind of going on what we saw in the past and tradition. And case in point was the preseason poll where 9 of the top 10 teams were in last year's final poll. So I'm a voter. I think we all go by recent tradition, recent past, because we really don't know a lot about the team so far. So some of the games, if you're a fan of a team that won or lost, I would say don't get overly upset yet. We've got a I think it takes at least 3 weeks till you get a real feel. Sean, you coached. What about from your standpoint, from a media standpoint? That's the way I always looked at it. As a coach, do you kind of feel like it takes a couple of weeks to really read your team?
Yeah, it takes a couple of weeks. And I say, like, even with college, the preseason polls, I mean, let's not put a poll out till week three, like you said, Dave. We have no idea who's going to be good, who's going to – I'm going to write this down. I guarantee you next year, New Canaan, Darien, Greenwich, Staples, North Haven, Windsor, Hand, they're going to be in the top 10. Like you could say right now, that we might have a team that we don't know about that deserves to be in there. But it's the preseason, the preseason polls, week one polls, it's a crapshoot. You really don't know.
No, they're good conversation pieces, Morton. Anything else? I voted Darien 1 because I knew they had the most returning players. I voted, I don't remember if I had New Canaan, Staples, which order I had them, 2 or 3. I think I had Staples 2 because they also had a lot of returning players, and New Canaan 3 because New Canaan's New Canaan. And I think that's the way we all tend to vote. Quick rundown of the scores of note. New Canaan was the preseason number one, a little bit of a surprise, and they beat Maloney 42-13 in a rematch of last year's state semifinals. Greenwich, and we're going to have Coach Tony Morello on in a little bit, they came away up at West Haven, a real impressive 24-6 victory. Staples, the defending class double L champion and number one team in the state, in a game that looked like it was going to be a mismatch, defeated Hamden 48-7. Darien looked like they could beat the number one team in the state with a 45-6 win over Cheshire. And another score of note, St. Joseph with a 17-7 win over North Haven. An impressive showing all around by those top teams.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, this is New Canaan Maloney. This is the first time it hasn't been a last-second win for, you know, the team in the last two or three matchups. But, like, Dave, all the teams, all the games you just mentioned, you know, they were won convincingly. You know, that's credit to the FDIC. And I'll say year in, year out, you know, it's the best league in the state. And it was proven again week one.
Well, why don't we take a break, and when we come back, Sean and I will look a little bit more in depth at all these games. And again, we'll have Tony Morello, the Greenwich coach, coming up shortly. You're listening to the Rudin Report live on WICC. Sean Ireland and I, we're going to start looking a little bit more in depth at the games. Sean, why don't we start with the preseason number one team, New Canaan, played by Maloney. Team they beat in the postseason the last 2 years on their way to state championships. A game I guess everybody thought, again, based on last year, would be close. New Canaan beat Maloney on the last play of the game in the semifinals last year on a field goal. And this game was not even close. 42-13 win. I wrote it last week, my player to watch that I thought was going to be a breakout player, Andrew Esposito, the wide receiver, didn't get a lot of catches last year as a sophomore as the team developed and they broke in a new quarterback. And what did he do yesterday? He made me look pretty good. 9 catches for 275 yards and 5 touchdowns. And those 5 touchdowns, one short of the state record. It looked like Sean, old-time New Canaan throwing the ball football.
Yeah, it was funny, Dave. When I saw the stats, I'm not kidding. I thought of you right away. I'm like, man, he hit the nail on the head with Andrew Esposito. You know, that unbelievable. Great job by him. You know, defensively, to hold Maloney to 13 points, and they had a defense. Michael Smith had 2 interceptions with a defensive touchdown. Again, you know, defense. New Canaan's defense is always going to be strong. You know, but to hold pretty much Maloney to 13 points, that's great. But yeah, Andrew Esposito, 9 for 271, 5 touchdowns. That's a season for a lot of people, let alone one game.
That's half the catches he had last year.
Exactly.
You know, just it was just a great showing. And shout out to quarterback Luke Robinson. I mean, somebody had to throw those 5 touchdown passes to him. And I think he bristled last year because he was referred to as a game manager because it was a team that was more run-oriented and relied a lot on the defense. And Robinson, who didn't throw for over 200 yards in any game last year, went 14 for 19 for 311 yards. He's a really good kid, one of many returning quarterbacks in the FCAC this year, so it was good to see Luke play that way, and more importantly, it bodes well for the future for New Canaan with that kind of performance.
Yeah, it really does. You know, maybe they were listening to to everybody last week saying, how is Darien not number one? Maybe they got fired up by, you know, us and other media outlets that are saying, how is Darien not number one? Because, man, they put it on Maloney from the beginning, and they never took their foot off the pedal the entire game.
One other player of note was Henry Stein at running back. They usually do it by committee, and he carried the ball 17 times for 89 yards. Let's bounce around to New Canaan's favorite opponent, Darien. My preseason number one, the state poll number two. Real impressive showing against Cheshire. Came away with a 45-6 win. Ben Rolap, who had such a great run in the postseason last year to set up this season, he threw for 4 touchdowns and ran for another. And the tone was set on Darien's second player of the game when Kevin Roach, the 6'9" tight end who's headed to Georgia Tech next year. Nobody around him as he ran over the middle. A defender I saw in the film on the replay actually tripped over one of his teammates, and Roach goes 82 yards for a touchdown right off the bat. And it was kind of funny, Sean. It looked like everybody forgot the 6'9" kid on the field.
Yeah, I actually saw Ben Rolapp's interview after the game, and it actually made me laugh out loud. He said something along the lines like, when you see a 6'9" guy running down the middle of the field, you figure you just throw it to him. He said something like that. You know, those two, you know, they're going to be tough to defend, you know, and then everybody's talking about Rolapp and Roche, which you should because they're that good. But, man, defense, 5 turnovers in the first half. You know, whenever you turn the ball over 5 times and, you know, cause 5 turnovers in one half, you're looking at a nice win.
Now, 4 of those came almost in succession in the second quarter when the Blue Wave really broke the game open. They kind of sleptwalk a little bit in the second half, and it was running clock most of the time, and they had already kind of put the exclamation point on the game. The other big thing, and Darianne kept this under wraps really well because we usually get teased off to some of these things, but Charlie Tom, who was expected to miss about 4 weeks, maybe even miss the first half of the season because of an injury he sustained during lacrosse season. He was back, fully recovered. I talked to Coach Andy Grant before the game, and I had seen Tom out there, and he said, yeah, he's not on a pitch count. And I'm not sure how many catches he had, but he had one 30 to 40-yard gain on a pass where he just kind of bowled people over. And now you look at, you got Roach, you got Tom. They got a bunch of other receivers that look pretty promising that we haven't really been that familiar with. I don't know how teams are gonna cover all these guys.
Yeah, and it's pick your poison. Like you're gonna empty the box out to cover the two big guys, but then you got the running back who could just carve you to pieces too with a big strong offensive line. I'm happy that I am not coaching against them this year, because offensively, what are you going to do? Like you just got to hope they have an off night. That's what you got to hope for, because they have athletes. They're tough kids too. They're very strong physical kids. And, you know, I don't know how to defend them.
I'll tell you, after Friday night, I was saying, let's play the Turkey Bowl right now.
Yeah,
let's get Nukane and Darianne out there next week, especially since we have a really bad slate of games next week. Let them play right now, and let's see what happens. Let them you know, maybe have a home and home series.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Why don't we take a look at Staples? This game had blowout written all over it, and sure enough, Staples scored early, scored late, scored in between. Came away with a 48-7 win over Hamden. Nick Wild, the new quarterback, is their life after Caleb Smith. Well, Wild threw for 5 touchdowns, actually tying Smith and Scott Krause for the team record. He went 16 for 23, and his favorite target was Shane Sanju, a player that everybody in Westport was telling me keep an eye on. He had 7 catches for 107 yards. And a pair of scores. The Staples offense, the faces change, and it keeps on purring.
Yeah, they're very good. They're very good. You know, Staples. It's almost like the Staples of the early 2000s. You know, they're just going to come at you. They got athletes all over the place, like you said. You know, for Nick Wild to do this, you know, filling in for Caleb Smith, you can argue, is one of the best players to come out of Staples. And you know what? My first day, I'm just going to throw 5 touchdowns, over 200 yards. You know, that's all I'm going to do. So they're going to be okay. And then defensively, I believe the kid's name is Crandall. Had a huge game, sacking kids, interceptions, tackles all over the place.
14 tackles in the game. He had a sack and interception.
The stuff that I watched, that's every time there's a tackle, the same number popped up. I'm like, geez. So I didn't actually go back and count them, but it was a lot. So, like, they're going to be there the whole year.
Yeah, Crandall and Cody Goodman, that's one of the best 1-2 linebacker punches around. You know, I didn't really talk with anybody at Staples. I didn't talk to Adam Behrens about this, but I kind of wonder if there's a little bit of an attitude there. They're third in the state, so they definitely have respect. But I think they get the feeling, well, you know, Caleb's gone in particular, and we lost a lot of good players. And so everybody's kind of down on us right now. And I got a sense, and I visited them the very first day of OTAs, that they have an attitude. Everybody thinks we're going to be down. You know, we're Staples. We've got a viable long-term record of success over the, you know, this past decade or so, and especially with Adam there. And I think they got a little bit of an attitude with them.
Yeah, and they should. You know, like if any other team, you know, you're the double L champ, and you know you have some pieces coming back. Like you said, Dave, number three in the state is not a slight, but I mean, you can make the argument they should have been number one, you know. So hopefully they are taking that attitude, and, you know, they're using it to their advantage, and they could get this rolling a little bit, because I think they have a sneaky, sneaky tough matchup next week.
Yeah, they play Ridgefield next week. Let's take a break here. When we come back, Greenwich, a real impressive 24-6 win over West Haven, a team with a lot of new starters, and we're going to find out a little bit more about them when we're joined by Cardinal coach Tony Morello. You're listening to the Rudin Report live on WICC. During the preseason, the word out of Greenwich, the glass half empty, only two starters back on both sides of the ball, the glass half full. This is Greenwich. They don't rebuild. They just reload. And it certainly looked that way Friday night after a resounding 24-6 win over West Haven. And joining me right now is the Cardinals coach and fellow Union College alum, Tony Morello. Tony, how you doing?
I'm doing really well, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Nah, thanks for taking the time here. I know you're busy getting ready now for Stanford next week. Tell me, what did you think about the performance? What surprised you? What stood out to you? And obviously, a team that you lost to in the state semifinals last year, so there was a little payback on your mind, but it was also a chance to see your guys in a tough situation right off the bat.
Oh, absolutely. The offseason, it's always easier preparing after a season-ending loss than a season-ending victory. That's what I've learned. We had great motivators all offseason. And the nervous thing, the way I feel about week one is you just don't know what to expect. You don't know what to expect from your guys. You don't know what to expect from your opponents. So we had a very, very simple, calm approach to week one this year, this offseason. And the element of surprise is something that we took very seriously, and we wanted to make sure by the time we got out there last Friday night, we were you know, just connecting as you know, all 11 should offensively, and through a couple of surprises, I think, to catch a team off guard.
Yeah, we talked a little bit during the preseason, and I know at scrimmage is the one thing you were emphasizing to me, especially with the one with New Canaan, is you aren't going to be showing anything to anybody. And obviously the first stat that stands out, when's the last time Greenwich only threw 7 passes in a game?
I can't tell you. It's been a long time. and the way the game started off, truthfully, we couldn't have gotten off to a better start. A 3-and-out defensively after a solid kickoff that pinned them right at the 20, followed by a good punt return. And then a few plays later, a touchdown to O'Donnell, followed by a onside squib that was recovered and then followed up with another touchdown. So to be starting off in a 14-point head start really set the tone for the game. And even across the state, looking at a lot of scores, teams that got off to a hot start, and however it may be, teams that got off to a hot start seem to fare pretty well. And again, with week one, there's so many unknowns that having a lead offers a little bit of, you know, I think a little reassurance to your team that you're in the right place, your coaches are making the right calls, and it allows you to sort of let loose a little bit, because there are definitely nerves and butterflies flapping for all the new varsity athletes across the state week one.
MJ D'Angelo takes over at quarterback for you, and he completed five of those seven passes, but he actually really turned out to be a threat running the ball. I see he had 127 yards. I was looking at the story Jeff Jacobs wrote for the Rudin Report, and it sounds like you've got another strong quarterback there and another player you're really high on. And I guess you were comparing him a little bit to Jack Wilson.
Well, I think he runs like Jack. He kind of throws a little bit like Rocco. He's a nice blend of both, but he's here to establish himself and, you know, his own legacy. We know we're trying to play to MJ's strengths and the team's strengths as much as we can week by week. So, you know, we face a lot of different defenses, a lot of different schemes, and sometimes you won't know until you get out there what a defense is trying to take away that day. Our goal is to be as balanced as we can on offense, and having a quarterback that can both run and throw and make proper decisions should allow us to be multiple as we can week by week as we prepare for our opponents.
You're listening to the Rudin Report live on WICC. We're talking with Greenwich coach Tony Morell. Sean, I'll let you talk coach speak with him.
All right. Hey, Tony, this is Coach Ireland. How are you, bud?
Coach Ireland, so good to hear from you. So good to hear your voice.
Yeah, thanks, man. Thanks. Hey, So I saw what MJ said after the game, and this just goes to show credit to you and your entire staff. He said something like, last year we were all playing JV, you know what I mean? So to come out week one against a team like West Haven at West Haven, which is not a fun place to play, you know, and I'm sure you guys got to leave a lot earlier from Greenwich, but like, just talk about like how well your staff gels together. They get these kids who really have not much experience at all ready for a team, a game like that to open the season.
Yeah. So the credit goes to the staff. I mean, these are the best guys around. These are guys I love hanging out with off hours on Sundays, like I'm doing right now with the guys. It's just a great group of humans that care so much about these student athletes, not just on the field, but in their lives. They dedicate themselves in the off season. We have positional meetings all off season, whether it's Zoom or in person. These are full 12-month coaches that aren't just following the students on the field, but in the classroom. So, we wouldn't be what we are without this staff. And it's why every year I know we're going to be able to compete with the best if I have this supporting cast around me and a bunch of Greenwich High School athletes that are going to, you know, stick to everything like glue and be moldable and coachable. The same with our pipeline. Every varsity positional coach is responsible for overseeing their position at the sub-varsity level. So they might not be able to practice with sub-varsity or the freshmen, but they are responsible for observing from a distance and making sure that when we have guys graduating, we have a heavy senior class in certain areas, we know at least that the next man up philosophy is trickling down. And I also am a big proponent of guys playing with their friends, playing with guys in their own grade, trying not to call up freshmen just for the sake of it, because I do believe that the building block starts at the freshman level, and that class making its way up together and finishing as seniors is something that is really important to me, and you know, I feel the whole all of high school football.
I just want to say credit to you and your staff, because what you guys did on Friday night was tremendous with a bunch of kids with very little experience.
Thanks, Sean. Appreciate it.
As we finish up here with Greenwich coach Tony Morello, Tony, what did you come away with from the game? What made you feel best about your team that you were uncertain about going into the game?
Yeah, real quick, that is a really good West Haven football team. Dembele is maybe the best defensive end. I mean, guys like Ivanchuk come to mind when I think about defensive ends that I've had to coach up against, at least in offensive line capacity. That guy was making plays all over the field. Conlon's still one of the best quarterbacks in the state of Connecticut, and West Haven's going to win a ton of football games. I think that I was really proud of our guys doing the offseason doing off-the-field conditioning, making sure they were hydrated and ready to go for four quarters. Although we were cramping a little bit at the end, they got us to the finish line. All the starters made it through the game. We had a lot of guys going both ways as well. So I think we had enough juice left to finish. And, of course, the eight-minute drive, not being in a rush, eight-minute drive to start the third quarter, up 14 to take three-quarters of that quarter away and kick a field goal to make it a three-possession game, I think was the most encouraging because it allowed our defense to rest up and certainly showed that we're capable of sustaining drives. And week one is usually penalty ridden and shooting yourselves in the foot because it's just you're not in sync yet. So I think the fact that we were able to gel the way we did so early in the season was really encouraging.
Well, Tony, we always know Greenwich is going to be strong no matter how many people you have back. And, congratulations on a great win. And I'm looking forward to seeing you in person next week against Stanford, a team you beat twice last year. Thanks a lot for taking the time here to join us and go game plan for next week.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Thanks, Sean. And congrats to all the other FCAC teams on their successes this weekend.
Thanks a lot, Tony. That was Greenwich football coach Tony Morello. We're going to take a final break here. When we come back, Sean and I will finish breaking up this week's games and looking ahead to next weekend. You're listening to the Rudin Report live on WICC. Thanks again to Tony Morello for joining us. A couple of scores of note to me before Sean and I finish our look back at this first weekend. It was a good week for Fairfield as both teams got off to winning starts. Ludlow with a particularly impressive 53-7 win over NFA. And Fairfield Ward, Chris Parisi's debut. The Mustangs came away with a 20-6 win over Harding. And besides Esposito, another player I had on the watch list was Colin Walker, somebody that Chris had talked up to me during the preseason, and not a bad start. 24 carries for 224 yards and a score, and three catches for 78 yards and another score. So a real productive day. And shout out to Owen Sandoval and West Hill after a winless season. They get off to a good start with a 27-0 win over Wilbur Cross. And Sean, I think the one other game we really need to talk about, and maybe just, and again, based on last year, and we'll know in a couple of weeks whether it's this year too, but the maybe the biggest surprise was St. Joseph coming away with a 17-7 win over North Haven. And I say a surprise, I'm never surprised by anything that St. Joseph and Joe Delavecchia do, but North Haven, after the season they had, coming off as double M champions, beating Wilton, I think that maybe was what made the game a little bit of a surprise. You see it that way?
Yeah, and Dave, you said the exact same thing I was thinking. Like, whenever you're surprised that St. Joe's wins, something's wrong, But, St. Joe's, their program is right up there with anybody. But, back to what we were saying before, is St. Joe's very good? Is North Haven higher than what people thought? We just don't know yet. I think if any time you go to North Haven and win, it's a great win. So I'm going to go with the latter, that St. Joe's is not down this year. They're going to be right up there when all's said and done.
Yeah, when I saw Joe when I was up there a week and a half ago, he was really hyping up his underclassmen and his sophomore class. Didn't really say too much about the big picture. And I just looked at a couple of things in the box score, so I don't even know what the breakdown was on how many of those sophomores may have started. And it was just a question of not knowing how younger kids were going to do in their first test. But one of my favorite players in the league is TJ Wright. He's just you don't talk too much about people in the secondary because everybody seems to look at the offensive stats. But he's one of the best shutdown players in the league. And he also, I guess he's going to be a two-way player because he had a 46-yard touchdown catch. And H.T. Jones, he started as a freshman yesterday. He had two touchdown passes. And obviously, it was a big defensive showing. So, Sean, I think the Cadets got into the state playoffs at 6-4. And they got a tough schedule, but they look like they're going to be formidable again.
Yeah, they're going to be, at the end of the year, they'll be in the playoffs. I'm going to say because of their schedule, you know, they have the, I don't want to say luxury, they can lose a couple of games because their schedule is so tough and still get in the and still make the playoffs. And, you know, when St. Joe's gets in the playoffs, you do not want to play them. I'm telling you that right now. You know, great job on their part holding North Haven because you cannot replicate that offense in practice, you know. So the fact that they held them to 7 points was a great job. You know, but St. Joe's is going to be here in the end. I could tell you that.
I wouldn't be surprised, and I have to get home and do my vote as soon as I get home after the show. I got to kind of look over everything, but I wouldn't be surprised based on the quality of the win if St. Joseph doesn't get bumped into the top 10 after week one, in which case half of the first state poll after games have been played will be made up of FCAC teams.
Yeah, and, you know, they're deserving. They should be in the top 10. You know, like I said, to go to North Haven – and to pull off a win, I mean, not many teams are doing that. I could tell you that. So I think St. Joe's should be in the top 10.
Okay, well, you're going to have to – I'm going to let you play for Friday night. Where should Dave go? I'm looking at – Do you already know where I should go?
I'm thinking just looking at next week's schedule. You're talking Friday, right?
Friday night.
I think you got to go to Richfield. I think you have to go to Richfield.
That's where I'm going. That's where I'm going.
Staples is very good. Richfield. I'm going to say this. They probably have the best home field advantage. You know, the bus ride. You know, you're driving through. You're not on the highway anytime. You know, and then you get there. Tiger Hollow is crazy. You know, they have a great home field advantage. You know, in Staples, in my opinion, is one of the better teams in the league. So if I was picking somewhere, I would go to Richfield.
That's where I'm going, A, because I didn't get to see Staples, and B, kind of curious to see what's going on with Richfield and new coach Jamie Reed. The team's coming off a tough season, and the last two or three years have not been in the playoff hunt, which is very unusual. Especially with former coach Kevin Callahan and the quality of the program over his tenure, but slipped a little bit to the 500 mark, a rare off season last year, and they bounced back. And like you said, Tiger Hollow, and I've gotten to know Ridgefield really well now. I'm up there a lot just because I have a couple of friends there now. It's a great town, but the Tiger Lair is as good a fan base as there is, and when you get all those kids just yelling and screaming, and you've got to play down there in that pit, it's a tough place to go. But I'm kind of curious to see Staples. This is the game. Staples is going to be a big favorite, but we don't have if we had point spreads on high school games. At least with the top teams, we're looking at games that are all going to be in the double figures.
Yeah. It's the top teams. It's looking a little, you know, maybe a little lopsided this week again. Except I'm not counting my guys out yet. Greenwich is very good, but you know, Stanford was a little banged up. I still think Greenwich, unfortunately, is a double point spread favorite over the Black Knights of Stanford. But, yeah, it's looking a lot like a lot of lopsided games coming up this week.
Yeah, I was at Stanford yesterday. That was a tough loss. I didn't mention that against Newtown. But that was a tough loss. They were really beat up. And E.J. Presley has had an ankle injury. They were just kind of slowed down. And it was a tough game for Stanford. They made a lot of mistakes. And we'll get maybe a little bit of a better read with them on Greenwich. I think they'll play better because some of their problems were kind of self-induced. You know, a couple of other games to keep an eye on. Friday night, New Canaan is at Ward, and Darien takes the trip to McMahon. And then the other game that people might want to keep an eye on is Wilton going to Norwalk. Wilton had a... I don't know if you want to say an impressive loss with everybody that graduated last year, but you know Wilton was competitive with Massac, and then we'll see about Norwalk. Sean, great job as always today. Let's do this again next week.
Sounds good, Dave. I will be here.
Okay, and that's this week's episode of the Rudin Report Live on WICC. Have a good week, everybody, and we'll see you again next Sunday.